There's many books that have impacted me over my life. One book I want to share with you very quickly now as we get going this evening, and not a Christian book, but I picked it up on a delayed layover flight in Chicago on my way to Africa. And I was browsing through the bookstore because I had nothing much to do. And I saw this stand of books, and the title grabbed my attention. And the name of the book was Quiet, Q-U-I-E-T. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. So I went up and I picked it up and I looked at the back of it, as I often do. And it was almost as if the Lord was speaking to me. The author of this book is Susan Cain. And Quiet has changed my perspective on who I am. You see, most people won't know that I'm extremely introvert. I don't like being up here. This is not cool. And the book gave me an understanding. And Susan, by the way, I don't think she's a believer, but there's so much biblical truth in this thing. God creates us all uniquely and distinctly. And as a wee boy, and by the way, I was born in Scotland and grew up in Africa, I was so shy and so introverted. I was as skinny as a beanpole and covered in acne. I was an ugly wee fella. But you know what? As I read the book Quiet, I understood that my quietness and my introversion was what God gave me. And so the courage that it takes to step out in faith and the courage it takes to speak in front of people is from the Lord. I recharge when I've been with people. And I think of this story of Mary tonight, and it is a beautiful story told around the world. And I'm not going to read the whole passages tonight as we're going to move on, but I changed it from the version that I had last night to the Message. I do have my clicker. There we go. So I'm going to go and just read. This is from the Message, just literally the last couple of sentences, just to get us going. And as I think to myself what Mary did, and I think of Tanya, my wife, and I coming to this church 25 years ago, and the fact that God led us here to Living Way, I can only say to you tonight that your gift to us as the Boyd family has been your prayers and support. Because as Tanya and I have ministered in many countries around the world, we've seen what the power of prayer does. Huge. There's no doubt that God's call on my life is something that I could never, ever, ever have planned and navigated. Who of you were here last night? A couple of you. The rest of you, shame on you. You should be here. So we're going to march fairly quickly through a recap of last evening, but we're going to dig into some other areas tonight. But as you think of this room in Bethany, Mary walks in, and the room is filled with the apostles and Jesus. And I can only imagine it's a very small room, fairly cramped probably. And this dear woman does something that blows their socks off. She pours this jar of perfume over the head of Jesus. The disciples, when they saw this, and this is the Message version, said they were furious. They were seriously hacked off at this lady. That's criminal, they said. This could have been sold for a lot of money and handed to the poor. Now here it comes. Now Jesus realizes and intervenes. Why are you giving this woman a hard time, he says. You'll have the poor with you every day for the rest of your lives, but not me. Just giving you some context here. And this is what I love about this. You can be sure that wherever in the whole world the Message is preached, what she has done is going to be remembered and admired. You see, the story of each of us, I think of you younger folk, us chronologically mature folk, as I think of the message that God gives us and the stories we can tell, it does not matter if you came to Christ later in life like I did, or you grew up in a Christian home. Because a beautiful story told around the world, here in Poway, San Diego, back up in Idaho. By the way, it was snowing at home today. my daughter texted me. She said, "Daddy, it's snowing. How are you doing?" I said, "I'm sitting on the balcony in the sunshine reading my Bible." And it was 70 plus degrees. It's astonishing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you are. The story of what Jesus has done for us is a beautiful story.
Yes, yes.
Beautiful, beautiful story. We learned last evening that Matthew is a Jewish gospel. Mary performed this act out of love and respect for Jesus. And according to John 12:3, the woman is Mary, sister of Martha and Lazarus. We also learned that the anointing of Jesus by Mary was a worshipful scene. She was worshiping Jesus. She was going against tradition. She was going against social norms. She was seriously laying it out there and taking a risk. But she did it because she loved Jesus so much, and she knew that this was something she wanted to do. We also learned that the perfume was called nard. And it's very, very expensive. And it's thought to be an aromatic plant that comes from the Himalayas. This is not something she picked up in Walmart. This was kept in an alabaster jar. Once she opened that jar, that was the perfume at its freshest. After that, can't use it. And so she gave her all to this act of love for Jesus. We're also told that that jar of perfume was worth about 300 denarii, which back then was about a year's wages for a laborer. That is huge. I'd love to know which one of us are going to do something and give a year's wages. By the way, your pledge tonight, a year's wages, everyone. That'll be wonderful. So we've learned a huge amount about what these verses say. But this is the point that got to me when I was praying and researching this, that Jesus made a point of telling the disciples that the poor will always be with us, but that devotion to Jesus himself must precede and inform all other godly agendas. Did you get that? It sounds difficult to take, but that's what Jesus has told us. Jesus tells us that wherever the gospel is preached, that story of Mary's deed will be remembered and discussed. So is Jesus telling the truth? Of course he is. Are we not talking about it this evening and discussing it? The inerrant word of our Lord Jesus is there for a reason. And as we look at certain passages this evening, it's important to remember that the word of God is the word of God.
Yes, yes.
And that's it. Tonight we're going to dig in a little more on the preaching of the gospel, because after all, this is Living Way's annual missions conference. As we change tack slightly, I want you to remember in the back of your mind that Mary did this act of love for Jesus and she risked it all. One of the words that continues to astound and astonish me as I walk with Jesus is the word grace. Our Lord has extended this grace to us and invited us to be bearers of His good news around the world. Did you hear that?
Yes.
He's extended that to us and invited us to be bearers of His good news around the world. What I heard this morning from some of the missionaries attending here just blows my socks off. I recognize that it's all of us together in every way we can to be obedient to His great commission to go and do what? Make disciples of all nations. Right here to the farthest corners of the earth. Within the context of this evening, when I tell you some of the stories, please, it's not about me. Or it's not about MAF, Mission Aviation Fellowship. It's about Jesus first and foremost. MAF today is a ministry 73, 76 years old. Globally today, we have 135 airplanes. That's a huge fleet in 37 countries. Most of the countries I can't even share with people externally because they're so, so restricted. I was sharing with Pastor Daniel earlier about a country that MAF is in, that today it's spent a lot of the time on emails, where it's really, really challenging for our people. And as the current CEO, I'm not sure if we should leave them there. But then I recognized What Mary did for Jesus was risk it all.
Yes.
And it's not up to me to decide where Jesus is going to be recognized. It's up to all of us. And so as we think of the grace that God has extended to us, one of the most wonderful definitions of grace that I have ever read is this one. This is what it says. Grace is a godly characteristic that determines God's posture towards his children, whereby he generously and freely loves, forgives, favors, and exalts undeserving sinners into the kingdom. Oh my gravy. That is so stinking powerful that I have it on my desk. I have a few things I tape to the little drawer on my desk. Grace is such a powerful word, and I don't think I've grasped the huge blessing it is. Huge blessing to have God's grace and his mercy upon me and upon us. When you reflect where you've come from in life, and you think that it's only by God's grace that we are who we are. As long as we think we're not that bad, the idea of grace will never change us. Yowza. Does that not give you goosebumps? That is powerful. When I think of what Jesus did on the cross, the fact that he is alive today, that I, as a dreadful sinner, can come to the throne of grace and cast myself before him. And then I remember what Mary did in that room, and this beautiful story that we're going to keep on telling it until Jesus comes again. So that grace, young folk, older folk, the grace and mercy of Jesus is not to be taken lightly. Last evening I shared a little of my background, and I shared with everyone here that my young life, I was in law enforcement and I fought in the Rhodesian terrorist war. And I saw things that just shocked me and did things that I'm not proud of. But it formed part of who I became later in life. And for the men here, that was really, really the macho side of John. Now ladies, listen up. Okay, so from police officer to police anti-terrorist unit to special weapons and tactics to covert ops, to undercover drug squad detective for 6 months with very long hair, into the fashion industry for 15 years. God, seriously? Well, mind you, take a look. I wasn't a Christian, and I could not have predicted that I would move out of that kind of life into the cut and thrust of the fashion business. How the heck did that happen? Not by design, because I wasn't a believer, but I learned a huge amount during those 15 years in the fashion business. But as a non-believer, there was only one thing I was interested in: myself. How much money, who I was seen with. My ego was so stinking huge that at the end of the day, I thought nothing about others. Now, that's not exactly true, but I'm trying to paint a picture for you. So the grace that is extended to us by our Lord Jesus means that we need to extend that to others.
Yes.
And the love of Jesus needs to be told to others. We need to be obedient to the Great Commission. This church is a missional church. I love Living Way Church. I will tell you that unashamedly. I use this church as a model. And I tell other churches and people that I meet about your heart for missions and your faith pledge. You have listened to God. And through Living Way, many people in this area are coming to Jesus. And through Living Way, the Boyd family and Mission Aviation Fellowship, thousands and thousands and thousands of people every month are hearing about Jesus. And that's obedience. So what grace, what grace. I really enjoy... There we go. When you think of how God works, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Over my years in the police and in the fashion business, I now know that our Lord Jesus was tapping me on the shoulder a couple of times over those years. On the 26th of December 1976, I was involved in a very, very, very intense ambush situation in the southeastern quadrant in Rhodesia. I was leading a group of men into what we called an OP. We only operated with 6 men. We were ambushed by heavy machine gun fire and mortar attack. And the 6 of us hit the deck, bit the dirt, and returned fire as we'd been taught to do. And that's the evening I can remember for the very first time in my life doing something what I believe now was praying. I cried out to a God I didn't know. And I remember it so well, I made the promise, oh God, if you get me out of this, I'll be a good boy. Well, he did, obviously. Here I stand. But after we were evacuated and we were choppered out of there, I can tell you I didn't do anything with that promise. But Jesus is patient.
Yes.
And he waited.
Yes.
He slapped me around a bit over the years in many ways. But ultimately, when you think how patient God is with us and that grace and that mercy he extends to us, why don't we want to go and tell others?
Yes.
You know, we need to be bold, Christians. We need to be bold. This dear country of America, guess what it needs? The Lord Jesus.
Yes, it does, yes.
My own country of birth, Scotland. You know the greatest need there? Missionaries.
Yes.
It's astonishing what's happening there. He doesn't want anyone to perish. When I think of the Great Commission, oh dear, there we go. I think of the fact that everything about the Great Commission is about discipleship. I think the fact that what Mary did and that story has bearing on world mission. You can always give to the poor, but you've got to put Jesus first. You've got to make Jesus famous. We say that in MAF, by the way. We're about making Jesus famous. That may sound very humanistic, but that's the truth of it. Every opportunity that you get or I get, we have to, in our own way and contextually, earn the right to share about Jesus. So let's just have a peek at that one. With Christian discipleship, to live like Christ who gave himself to the point of discomfort and death, to become the means for me to have life. His follower lives as a mean beyond oneself. And here it comes, to benefit someone other than oneself. Isn't that what Mary did? She was willing to just lay it all out there. Really. Are you awake?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. How am I doing? Am I okay?
Yes.
All right. Jolly good. We'll carry on. Benefit someone other than oneself. You see, that's the Jesus way. To love God and influence just one person for him. That's the key here.
Yes.
You know, MAF is not about mass evangelism as a ministry. Earning the right to share the gospel is part of what we do. Last evening I showed you some photographs. You're going to see 2 more tonight and 2 more tomorrow. And it was just my way of trying to illustrate the grace that God gives, the fact that all of us can share this beautiful story around the world and not be afraid to do so. I also shared last night that, you know, it's not just about hearing the word. It's about being doers. That's the key to this. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. 3 weeks ago, I had major surgery done on my lower jaw. I looked dreadful after it, by the way. Terrible. My face was swollen, had bad bruising. And it was terrible. And I kept looking at the mirror and weeping about my lost youth and beauty. But ultimately, you know, I look in the mirror and quite frankly, I've kind of forgotten today what it was like. I can still feel it, by the way, but it's like, that's what Jesus is trying to say. Look to Jesus, hear his word, but then do what he tells us to do.
Yes.
That's not difficult. And by the way, it's not a suggestion. It's a command to do what Jesus wants us to do. One of the things that I've heard recently that reminded me of when Tanya and I came into MAF, we had to go through a huge battery of things. We had to go and see a Christian psychologist. Scared the wits out of me. When you sit in front of this guy together and then separately and then together and then separately, and right at the end of everything, he called Tanya in and I thought, oh dear. And then he called me in and I thought, oh dear. Then he called us both in and I thought, oh dear. But this psychologist said to me, he said, John, your personality and your style and your character, he said, one day you're going to stand before Jesus. I thought, oh, here it comes. And he said, Jesus is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. But I just wish you'd enjoyed the journey a bit more along the way. It's like, because I take everything so stinking seriously. And it's the same with sharing the gospel. Don't take it seriously. Show the joy. And get out there. By the way, I've got my groove on tonight with the Hawaiian dancer. You're so cool. My feet were tapping there. Joy in the journey is part of everything. Christian, we don't have to be hors d'oeuvre and everything. I'm wondering in that room in Bethany, if Mary didn't... I mean, did she bounce in there? I bet you she did.
Yeah.
I don't think she felt cowed and bowed by social norms. Maybe she did. We don't know that. But good night, Josephine. What a story. It's astonishing. Joy in the journey, a big thing.
Yes.
Thank you. Amen, Val.
Yes.
Da-da-da. We're going to get into some good stuff. I'm doing well, Pastor Daniel. I'm doing well. I'm watching the time. Okay, C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite writers, he said this: it is not the remembered, but the forgotten past that enslaves us.
Wow.
Do you want to read that again?
Wow.
It is not the remembered, but the forgotten past that enslaves us. As part of my preparation for this, I thought, you know, how can I illustrate this quote? And I've had that for years. It's not the remembered, but the forgotten past. It's what we've forgotten that happened in our past life that enslaves us. And to do that, you're going to be very excited now. Those of you here last night saw a photograph of me when I was a younger man. You're going to see another one now. It's part of me illustrating how God's grace and me being able to tell a beautiful story now around the world can have an impact for Jesus. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Oh. Oh. That is one major dude. So this was me at 19 years old, police anti-terrorist unit fighting the Rhodesian war. Did not know Jesus, was so cocky and self-confident, probably a little arrogant, but believe it or not, incredibly shy and introvert. Seriously, I was. I mean, I wouldn't say boo to a goose. And yet... God has a way of cutting through everything. I have children and they are astonishing. Stuart, 23, Ashley, 21, and Alana, just about to be 18. And they like their mummy. They are in your face. But in a nice way. I'm a shy guy. And I do what I do because God's called me to do it. But here it is. God's grace extended to me and His courage given to me allows me to do what I do.
Yes.
So why can't we be more bold for Jesus? In those years, oh my goodness, all I was interested in was keeping my life. I looked a little bit like this on the night in 1976, a lot older than that, when this ambush happened. And I prayed to God I didn't know. But God's grace and His mercy and His patience meant that 10 years after that incident, I accepted Christ. I only came to Jesus when I was 38. But the story that I'm able to tell now, and my encouragement to each one of us here tonight, is a story you're going to be able to tell about your lives. Don't ever think you don't have an exciting story. The fact that you know Jesus is exciting.
Yes,
it really is. So just put that picture in your mind's eye. So fast forward with me for a moment. And I want to show you those four photographs. Bottom left, is that right? Bottom left. Bottom left, that's MAF hangar in Haiti, and we're praying before one of my flights. The bottom right, into a remote airstrip. The reason I put those two top photos on there, those are voodoo dancers in Haiti. I rubbed shoulders with voodooists in Haiti. I saw the lostness of these dear people. And I don't know if you can see it on the photographs, but there's something funny about the way those photos came out. But when I was to think to myself that God had taken me from the life I lived in the Rhodesian War, through the fashion industry, become a Christian, end up going to Mission Aviation Fellowship as a pilot, and end up serving in Haiti, and rubbing shoulders and being able to witness to voodooists and many, many people who don't know Jesus. What a beautiful story.
Yes.
And tomorrow I'll wrap up. We'll take a slightly different tack tomorrow morning, but there's two more photos I'll show you tomorrow. And I want to explain to you God's grace. But think about it for a moment. Who would have told those voodooists if Christians don't go?
Right.
Who? By the way, it's not just MAF, but many missionaries go to Haiti. But the Great Commission is clear. What does it say? Go and make disciples to all nations. So the grace of God extended to us means that we have the authority to go and make disciples. Mission Aviation Fellowship flies all over the world. And one of the best ways I can illustrate a beautiful story is to show you a short video again that illustrates what this ministry does. When you think of Living Way Church and how many ministries you support in prayer and giving, it's the family together, all of us together. The MAF of today partners with about 1,400 organizations around the world, because together we can take the gospel in. We fly national pastors, Wycliffe Bible translators. We fly so many people in our airplanes. And every time we fly, we pray and we're thinking. Quick story before the video, and then I'll begin to wrap up. I was flying the U.S. ambassador to Haiti once in my little MAF airplane. I flew the Netherlands ambassador to Haiti. I flew the British ambassador to Haiti in my little MAF airplane. And it's really small, okay? So pilot here and they sit here. And guess what happens when you're flying people? They got nowhere to go. And it's pretty rough and bumpy. I was able to share, not the full gospel message, but who I was, how I loved Jesus, and why I was in Haiti with these people. The next day, doing a flight to evacuate, a pregnant Haitian woman with serious complications. The next day, doing another medical evacuation. 2 weeks later, flying foodstuffs in for starving children. It's astonishing how God ordains how each ministry has its place in His kingdom and His great commission. But the bottom line is it's all about Jesus. So let me wrap this evening up for us. When you think of what God has done in your lives and the grace, one of the things that I share with our team is, and one of the things that you know is this, is that Jesus followers don't sit in the bleachers. We don't. The verses we've shared this evening about doers, don't just hear it, do it. We're players who influence the crowd for Jesus. Yes. No doubt about that. And that's our influence. My favorite picture of MAF in Bangladesh called Fishers of Men. I'll leave that up there as I close this evening. As I think of what Jesus commanded us to do, we're all fishers of men and women, obviously. But ultimately, that's how I see Living Way Church. You're very much missional, very much engaged in evangelism and world mission. You're very much doers and not just hearers. I can see that. Jesus stood before his disciples 2,000 years ago and told them that the power of the Holy Spirit would enable them to accomplish an astonishing mission. Just think about it. We are the ends of the earth. If the gospel could reach us, it can reach anyone. Yes. Think of me in that far-flung country of Rhodesia when I came to Jesus in the country of South Africa. You see, God's purposes are global. He told his disciples to make what? He told his disciples to make disciples of all nations, and here we are, disciples from other nations. So let's go and do what? Likewise.
Yes.
Jesus says that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. Christ Jesus now rules the whole universe, our little globe included, with the very sovereignty of God, ensuring the complete success of his global missions. What a truly beautiful story. And just as Jesus said about Mary, wherever the gospel is preached, her name will be mentioned, and the fragrance of Jesus will be present. I started changing my prayers and my salutations when people would ask me, "Hey John, how are you doing?" And I would say, "I am so blessed." Then I started thinking, you know, I wonder if that's the right word to use. If John the Christian man is so blessed, if my Christian brother is having a tough time, it might be a job or health or family or children, whatever it is he not as blessed as I am? I'm not special. Why am I blessed? And he's not. So I changed everything. I thought, you know what, I'm not going to say that anymore. When people ask me today, "How are you doing, John?" I say, "I am so grateful."
Yes.
I am so grateful to God for where he has me and where he's brought me from. So dear ones, have grateful hearts. Be bold in your proclamation of the gospel. And know this, that the grace and mercy Jesus extended to us, we need to extend to others. Pray with me, please. Lord Jesus, what a great, great opportunity to understand a little bit about your word. Father, to see you at work, to know that your children around the world are sharing your good news. To think, Lord Jesus, of that little room in Bethany where the story of Mary and her sacrificial giving to you is being told around the world. What a beautiful story. Heavenly Father, as we bring this evening to a close, we just think, Father, that we need to be risk takers. Father, we need to be giving our all. Father, we need to be bold. Lord Jesus, help us all never to forget and to be ever grateful of your grace and your mercy. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.